Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. The sermon is for the week of June 20th, 2021. I want to wish you a happy Father's Day. The message is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 18. It's entitled, Let the Walls Fall Down. The call to worship is from Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. I will give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell about all the miracles you have done. I will find joy and be glad about you. I will make music to praise your name, O Most High. Amen. We live in a divided world. We see this as we hear the international news, fighting between Israel and Hamas, tension between the USA and Russia, and Canada's struggle with China holding two of our citizens because we've detained one of their citizens. Our recent national news also reminds us that Canada, past and present, has racial and social injustice to deal with. In our text today, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 18, the Apostle Paul looks at divisions and shows us how Christ Jesus has bridged them. Paul reminds his readers of where they've come from and how that happened in order to reinforce their appreciation of what God did for them. It is by grace you have been saved. Paul has said this earlier in chapter 2. Paul has been explaining the incredible grace of God, which has been extended to all of us, both Jew and Gentile. I can imagine during his ministry that Paul encountered some individuals who expressed doubt about his message because they had never heard such hopeful news for humanity before. They may have thought to themselves, can something this life-changing just spring up out of nowhere? No, this smells fishy to me. Now, Paul's response, if it was based on our text today, might have been, listen, you've never heard this before because you are from the Gentiles. And until now, God's plan to include you in his work to save humanity had not been revealed. And then Paul explains, first of all, the problem faced by the Gentiles. You are outsiders. Secondly, how outsiders can become insiders. And thirdly, how Jesus did this and the difference that it makes. So first of all, the problem faced by the Gentiles, they are outsiders. We see this in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in heaven, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. So here we see Paul is telling us the uncircumcised were Christless. They had no messianic promise or hope to look forward to. Secondly, they were stateless. They weren't part of God's people, God's nation, Israel. Thirdly, they were friendless. They were not included in the unconditional covenant promises that God made. We see this with Abraham and with David. And then in Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36, there are promises there that are unconditional. The Mosaic covenant was conditional on the people's response, but these were unconditional, that God had made with Abraham and with David. Fourthly, the Gentiles found themselves hopeless. They were not aware that they had any hope of help from God, that there was a God who cared about them. And fifthly, the Gentiles were godless. They did not know Israel's God. They worshiped gods of their own making, false gods. This is a situation which still exists for those without Christ, who have not heard what God has done. In verses 13 to 18, Paul explains what the triune God has done. Sinners who deserved God's wrath have been brought near. Now, how is this possible? Verses 13 to 14 tell us how outsiders can become insiders. These verses say, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." So first of all, we see that Jesus shed his blood, offering himself in our place to forgive our sins, and he brought us near. That idea, brought near, is used in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 19, which reads, "Peace, peace to the far and the near, says the Lord, and I will heal them." When the rabbi spoke about accepting a Gentile convert into Judaism, they said that that person had been brought near. Now, does Paul mean that the Gentiles must first become Jews to experience God's grace in Christ? No, that's not what he's saying. That's what some in the Jerusalem church believed until God made it clear to Peter by sending the Holy Spirit upon Gentiles who responded to Peter's message and accepted Jesus as their sin forgiver and life leader. So outsiders become insiders, first of all, through accepting Jesus shed blood on their behalf. Secondly, how did this happen? Jesus became our peace. Jesus became our peace. And he did this, Paul tells us, by removing the dividing wall of hostility which existed between us and God and between us and others. Paul may have been thinking of the wall, the literal wall within the temple, which kept the Gentiles from getting too close to the inner workings of the temple. And there was a sign warning Gentiles under the threat of death that if they passed into the inner sanctum, then they were risking their own lives. Paul was arrested in Jerusalem because of the false accusation, the false assumption that he had brought Gentiles into the temple where they should not be. Now the Jewish people had many ways of dividing themselves, keeping themselves away from the Gentiles, but they were not the only ones who divided people. Greeks considered non-Greek-speaking people to be barbarians. And the Romans weren't much better. They had completely different laws for Roman versus non-Roman citizens. Sadly, things have not changed in the last 2,000 years. Differences continue to divide us, whether they be racial or economic or even continental. How did Jesus become our peace? William Barclay explains it in this way. He says, suppose two people have a difference and they get the legal system involved in it. They go to the lawyers, the experts in the law, and they draw up a document which states the rights of each in the case and ask the two conflicting parties to come together on the basis of that document. Now, this is what is bringing them together. Now, all the chances are that the breach will remain unhealed, for peace is seldom made on the basis of a legal document. But suppose that someone who both of these conflicting parties love comes and talks to them. There is every chance that peace will be made. When the two parties are in disagreement, the surest way to bring them together is through someone whom they both love and they know love them. That is what Christ Jesus does for us. He is our peace. It is a common love, our common love of Him. And in that common love, that people come to love each other. That peace is won at the price of His blood. For the great awakener of love is the cross. The sight of the cross awakens in the heart of men and women of all nations love for Christ. And only when they all love Christ will they then be able to love each other. It's not in treaties and legal documents to produce peace. There can only be peace in Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. When we make peace with God, then we in turn make peace with one another, because we now have this in common. Christ has become our peace. Thirdly, in verses 15 to 18, we see how Jesus did this and the difference that it makes. So first of all, in the first half of verse 15, how did Jesus do this? Verse 15 tells us, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. Now, the Jewish people had come to believe that their only hope in being acceptable to God was to keep His law. And the Pharisees had developed thousands of rules and regulations to keep people from breaking God's commands. These regulations governed behavior and encouraged legalism. However, they did nothing to nurture one's personal relationship with God. As we've already seen, humanity was spiritually dead. Read chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 again. The law could not change that, nor could the law be anything more than an outward facade over a dead soul. God in love brought us near through the sacrificial death of Christ Jesus on the cross on our behalf. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Jesus came to tell us that we cannot earn God's approval by keeping the ceremonial law. Instead, we must accept the forgiveness and fellowship which God in mercy freely offers. So how did Jesus do this? He did this through His own flesh, by giving us the law of love rather than legalism. And secondly, we see the difference that Jesus' sacrifice makes in the second half of verse 15 through verse 18. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So the difference that Jesus' sacrifice makes, first of all, believing humanity is made new in Christ. The Greeks had two words which mean new. One, neos, means new in point of time. For example, a pen made this week is new, even though thousands were made the previous week. However, the Greek word that Paul uses here is kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S, and it means new in point of quality. It's something which did not exist before, something brand new. This is what Jesus has done. Our once divided humanity is brought together through accepting the saving work of Christ on the cross and made into something the world has never seen before. Now understand, Gentiles have not become Jews, nor have Jews become Gentiles. The two have been remade in Christ into His body the church, something brand new, which we will look at in greater detail next week. So first of all, believing humanity is made new in Christ. Secondly, believing humanity is reconciled to each other and God through Christ, verses 16 and 17. Now, reconcile means to bring together again. To bring together again. We must remember that Christ Jesus brought together us with God and us with one another, but that each came at a heavy cost. The death of God's Son on the cross. To ignore the reconciliation achieved and called for by Christ Jesus between Christians is to disregard the price he paid for your salvation. We are friends with others because they are friends of God through Christ Jesus. Believing humanity is reconciled to each other and God through Christ. Thirdly, believing humanity now has access to God the Father by the Spirit through Christ. In verse 18, the Greek word that is translated access is used in a wide variety of ways. It's used to describe bringing a sacrifice to God, also bringing people into the presence of God to be consecrated to his service. It's also used when introducing a speaker or ambassador into a national assembly, the access. And above all, it is the word used for introducing a person into the presence of a king. In fact, the Persian royal court had an official that his name was the same as the Greek word for access, and this person's function was to introduce people who desired an audience with the king. This is the right that the Lord Jesus gives all who have accepted him as their sin forgiver and life leader. He gives us access to the Father by the Spirit. Thanks to Jesus' loving sacrifice on our behalf, we're no longer outsiders. We have access to Almighty God. This is amazing. Those of us who once had no hope, now we have the hope of salvation, the hope of heaven. What are we going to do with this privilege? Let's take one more look at Ephesians 2, 17 and 18. It says, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So who is the he and him mentioned in these verses? Well, it's Jesus. Jesus preached peace, first of all, to those who were far away. Who was Paul thinking of? The Gentiles. And those who were near. And who was Paul thinking of? The Jews. They were near to God. They had an understanding of God. Now, Paul tells us that Jesus came to bring peace to those who were far away. And that was the Gentiles, meaning us. But who would that be in today's context? Who were those who've never heard of God, never heard of his love for humanity? You know, there are many in this world who yet don't know that there is a God who made them, a God who cares about them, a God who's looking for them, a God who has a plan of salvation to restore them into relationship with him and with others. They are the Gentiles of our time. What about those who are near? Who might that be today? Well, think of those that have an understanding that, yeah, I believe there's a God. They might even know about Jesus because they've heard about his celebration of his birth at Christmas and something at Easter. And they have a bit of an understanding. My grandparents maybe used to go to church. There's a bit of an understanding, and yet they fully haven't understood God's plan or accepted his gift of forgiveness. We as believers are to live as those made new in Christ. And we are also to tell those both near and far from God the good news of Jesus' saving grace. That without Jesus, they are outsiders. But tell them how outsiders can become insiders. What Jesus has done through shedding his blood on our behalf, becoming our peace. And he did this on the cross so that we don't have to try to live under a set of rules and legalism, but under love, experiencing God's love and serving him in love. And then realizing the difference that Jesus' sacrifice has made. That we can have relationships across races and economic levels because of what Jesus has done. We can be reconciled to each other and God. And we have access to God the Father by the Spirit through the work and love of Christ. Amazing, the triune God is involved in all of this. Amen. Let me close with a benediction from Romans 15, verses 5 and 6, which says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." Thank you for joining us.